Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." That is verses 10 to 18, 8 verses, maybe 11 verses. I can't do my maths right. I think it's 8, 10 to 18. But there's so much power just in those 10, 8 verses. There's so much depth, so much richness in those few words. We could sit here all day talking about it. There's so much power in God's word. So much for you and I to be equipped. Ephesians is a book, is a letter to the church in Ephesus that was written by the Apostle Paul. Throughout Ephesians, he's talking about our reconciliation to God the Father, the new life that we can have and have in Christ Jesus. He talks about walking out of our calls. He talks about walking in love. He talks about marriage, husbands and wives. He talks about how we're to do life with one another, the unity of the body of Christ. There's so much in this book that he talks about. But then he says, "Finally, be strong." As he's closing the chapter, the letter, he says, "Finally, be strong." I believe the Lord's speaking to us all today too, saying, "Finally, be strong." Today, the title of my message is Stand. Stand, S-T-A-N-D, stand. See, life in itself can be so hard. Even without God, for those that do not know God, life is already pretty tough, can be tough. There's good things in life, there can be tough things in life. We all go through stuff. Everyone here has been through something. You might be going through something right now. But even life with God, walking with the Lord, as much as God brings an ease and He comes into us and He strengthens us and He's for us and supports us, it doesn't mean things are just going to become simple and easy. There's actually a thing called spiritual warfare. This is what Paul is talking about today. Paul knew what spiritual warfare was. There is a battle between good and evil. There is a battle that rages between God and evil. And Paul knows what this is all about. That's what he's talking about. As Christians, you would know that there's ongoing spiritual warfare. It's always happening. If you're not going through something, it's inevitable that you're going to go through something. You've been through something before, you're going to go through something at some point. and God in all of that. But what I've found as a Christian walking with the Lord since 1996 is that every time I go through something, it's tougher than the last thing. It's like I went through something, God worked through that, I grew through it, but then I go through something else. And I'm almost struggling to trust God who got me through the other thing. Things intensify. The spiritual warfare intensifies. But no matter what you go through, every time you're going through something, God is preparing you for the next thing. Not just for the hard thing, but it's all about God's purpose for your life. It's all about God's kingdom, His will for His glory. So there's this intensifying spiritual warfare that takes place. It can be so hard to stand. It can be difficult to actually stand. What do I mean by stand? The word stand means to have an upright position, to maintain an upright vertical position physically. But we need to stand spiritually. There is an enemy who wants you down. Because God is in you, because God's purpose and destiny is there for you and in you, the enemy doesn't want that. But I want to encourage you today that you're either standing, you should either be standing or getting up. You should never stay down. You can be standing, but the Bible says the righteous person is the one who falls 7 times and still gets up. You are going to fall in some way, one way or another, but the question is, are you getting up? So when you're getting up, you're standing. When you're standing, you're standing. But if you just stay down, that's not what the Lord has in store for you. He wants us to stand. I hear the saying, people say, new levels, new devils. Have you guys heard that before? New levels, new devils. I don't like that. I'm like, new levels? And he's like, what? If you want to go to a new level, there's going to be new devils. But there is some truth in that. I don't like it, but there is some truth in that, that as you go through life, as you're growing God, there is going to be more intense spiritual opposition. Because the more you're growing God, the more you're glorifying Him, the more you're doing what He wants, the enemy doesn't want that. So it'll seem intense, but guess what? New level, new devil. When you think about new, who's all about the new? God says, I'm doing a new thing. God says, today is a new day. But when you think about the devil, he's got the same old tricks. He never comes up with any new tricks and new tactics. He's been doing the same thing since day one. Lying, lying, lying. And He'll find different ways to lie to us, to tempt us. But isn't God the same? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been powerful. He will always be powerful. He's always been greater than anyone else, greater than anything else. So as much as there can be new levels, new devils, the enemy has nothing on our God who lives in you. So we do not need to fear. We don't need to fear opposition. We don't need to fear the devil. Have you ever felt like there's so much going against you? Just like, man, it's nonstop. When am I going to get a break? They seem like they're going well. What about me? When you just feel like there's so much pressure, you feel overwhelmed. You can't stand when you're being pushed, can you? It's pretty hard to stand. Ever felt like you're just being pushed to the limit? A couple of years ago, I got to go to Zimbabwe, which is my home where I came from 21 years ago. And I went back to visit my mum because she's not well. And man, I was only there for like 7 days. I went there pumped up, get to see my mom, and I was pumped thinking, God's going to use me. God's going to do stuff. People here were prophesying over me. God had provided for me to go there. I was pumped. Next thing, I'm in Joburg in transit to Zimbabwe. I get to Zimbabwe. I don't have my bag. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Don't have my bag. Next day, I go to the airport. Finally get my bag. On the way back, I'm with my stepdad, who's always been my dad, and I'm driving for the first time after 10 years in Zimbabwe. There's so much corruption, there's potholes everywhere, and you can't see the signs properly. But literally there was a trap that's just there from corrupt police. The police are corrupt. They know how to make money for themselves because there's so much lawlessness that they don't get paid much. So they're going to try to be creative and make some money. So I end up in a situation with the police because I was driving in a one-way street the wrong way, not realizing it, but they pretty much knew this happens. Next thing, they're talking to me about having to get the car possessed by the police, pretty much clamped, and then have to come back to court the next day. And this could go for days. I've only got 7 days to see my mum. I don't want to be sitting around in court. If I don't bribe them, I'm going to have to bribe the court person. If I don't bribe him, it's like the only way you're going to get out of this is by giving some money. Do you know how much that money was? $50. To me, that was like, oh, whatever. But to them, it's like, oh, man, it's amazing. But there's so much corruption. So I go through this on day two. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? A few days later, I find myself having to confront my stepfather in love about something that had been exposed, that God had revealed, or that I just seen. And I had to go counter cultural on my dad and go kingdom culture. And a few days later, I was kicked out of the house. Like literally, if I go home now, it's not home anymore. I might start crying right now. We can talk about it later. But God's been in all that. But this was like in 4 days. But by the end of that trip, it all made sense. It all made sense why the Lord took me there. I was in a church there and someone's prophesying, speaking right into my situation. And I'll tell you what happened that year, 2023 March. It was preparation for what happened last year in Yuma Church. Ha! God was preparing me. When we go through these things, God is preparing you for something. So you've got to stand. The only way I got through that situation in Zimbabwe was standing on Him, Christ the solid rock. The only way I got through last year was standing on Him. And I want to encourage you today to stand. What is stopping you from standing? What's happening in your life that is stopping you from standing? What could stop you from standing? You could say, oh man, I'm all good right now. But what could actually stop you from standing? Where's the push? Where would the push come from? You see, strength is needed to stand. For you to stand, for me to stand, I need strength in the physical. You need strength. So where do you get your strength from? Does it come from yourself? Does it come from others? What does verse 10 say in Ephesians chapter 6? It says, finally be strong in who? In the Lord and in the strength of His might. I want to tell you today that only God's strength will keep you up. Only God's strength will keep you up. He is the source of our strength. That is the first point for today. Only God's strength will keep you up. So no matter what lies ahead, no matter what disappointment might come, no matter what news might come, will you remain unshaken? Will you stand? You know, things will happen. They will shake you up a little bit. But with God, you should be able to remain standing. It doesn't mean you don't feel the effect of it. It doesn't mean it doesn't affect you. But you are to be founded on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's not saying be strong in yourself. We all want to be strong. We all want to be independent. We all want to have it all together. But God didn't actually create you to do that. He created you and I for relationship with Him. He's our source. So it's not just God give me strength. Oh, I've been strengthened by God. It's just not just Him. It's actually being strong in Him. You actually have to be in Him to be strengthened by Him. He actually has to be in you. It's about union with Christ. It's not just, oh, He just strengthened me that time. No, it's actually you got to be strengthened in the Lord, strengthened in His might. David, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, his life is on the line, King David. People are trying to kill him. People are going against him. It says that David strengthened himself. Is that where it ends? Is that what it is? David strengthened himself in the Lord. It says David strengthened himself in the Lord. Only God's strength will keep you up. So you actually have to abide in Him. John 15 verse 5 says, He is the vine, we are the branches. It says, whoever abides in God. Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him. He says, if my word abides in you, He says, you are the person that will bear much fruit. And He says, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. This is where our strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. So we're to stand. For you to stand, you actually need strength. And that strength comes from where? From God. But why do we actually need to stand? Why is it that you and I are being called to stand? Why was Paul calling the Ephesians to stand? It says in verse 11 to 12 in our Bibles, on the screen and on your Bible, on your lap. 11 to 12, it says, put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God. Can you picture an armor? Think of a Roman soldier, the armor they would put on for battle. We're being told God has an armor for us. God has an armor for you, Rhonda. Can you believe it? He has an armor He wants you, Chris, to put on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Why stand? Because we actually need to stand against the schemes of the devil. That's why we need to stand. Because there's things coming against us. And it says that the things that come against us are the schemes of the devil. What does the devil have to do with us? Why are we talking about the devil? John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and life in abundance. I have come that you may have life and life to the full. But He says the enemy, talking about the devil, comes only to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. See, the devil is real. I'm not here to glorify the devil or give him credit, but we have to be aware that evil is real, the devil is real, and that he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If someone came to your house, yo, I'm here to kill you, what are you going to do? You're going to do something about it. You're going to stand against that. Well, pretty much that's what the devil has in store for all of us, to kill, steal, and destroy. But you can't fight the devil by yourself. You can't. I can't. We need this armor that we're being told about. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand. This is why we need to stand. We're to stand against the schemes of the devil. Then it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says that, be alert. It says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. 1 Peter 5 8. Why? Because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. What does that devil have to do with us? He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone who's not alert, someone who's not watchful to devour. That's what the enemy is there to do. And as we read, it's not just the devil. He actually has an army of demons, of angels that are fallen angels, that are demons. And all this activity actually takes place in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly places. This is where it takes place and it impacts what happens here on earth. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling with your boss. You're not wrestling with your neighbor. You're not wrestling with your partner. You're not wrestling with your kids. You're not wrestling with your extended family members when things are happening. There's more to it than that. There's a spirit behind it. So who are you wrestling with? Are you aware actually that it's a spiritual thing when we go through these things? So if we're not just wrestling against the human beings, that we get caught up in that, like what was happening in my family, I've forgiven my stepfather. I have. And if he's listening to this, because we have podcasts, I have. I love him. Our relationships look different now. But God's taken me through a thing where I have to forgive. And for me, that's still a journey I'm working through. But I don't just go, it's him. There's actually a spirit behind all these things. And we need to be aware of that and pray into that. So who are you fighting against? What are you wrestling against? Because this tells us that we're wrestling against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Who are you wrestling against? If we're not just wrestling against humans, if we're wrestling against spiritual forces, then we actually need spiritual resource. We need God's resource because we try to do it ourselves. But actually, we need to go to God. And he says, put on the full armor. I could go for so long just talking about the spiritual realm, the spiritual forces, the evil. But Paul here doesn't get much into it. He just says, that's not what you're fighting. It's there. But he focuses on actually how we're supposed to stand. So we need to focus on how we're to stand. We don't need to go chasing the devil, chasing what's happening here. Or like there's times and places for that. But some people get so caught up on trying to be in spiritual warfare. Where to stand? Put the full armor on, knowing there's an enemy. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So we need to focus on submitting to God. As you submit to God, you actually resist the devil and he flees. What are the things the enemy throws at us? What does the devil throw at us? He throws lies. He throws threats, temptation. We get tempted. And I'm not here talking about the devil saying it's just the devil. It's us. We have responsibility. We can actually blame the devil. Oh man, I'm still struggling with this thing. Oh, it's just the devil. And I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I say things like this too. We can blame the devil for things, but we have responsibility. We have choices we can make. The enemy will come with the lies. He'll come with the temptation. But you got to think, what are the things that the enemy throws? What are his tactics? It could be criticism, bad criticism. Criticism can be good, can be constructive. But people speaking bad about us. It could be betrayal. Could be comparison. The enemy will throw these things. Why? So that we don't stand. So that we get down. So that we don't move in the things that God has called us to. So that we don't walk in love. So that other people don't come to know God. He's on a mission. He is on a mission. But we have a great commission straight from Jesus. So we're to stand against the devil's tactics, the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers in heavenly places. How is Satan part of the rulers? The Bible would tell you that actually Satan is the prince of the earth. It actually talks about Satan being the ruler of the earth. So he has some power, but we have more power in God. And we need to realize that and do something about it and be alert. So do you have what you need to stand against the enemy? Are you armed as a soldier for battle? Are you actually armed every day? Every day there's a battle happening. Whether you know it or not, it's a thing. The question is, are you armed? And it's actually not complex. It's not complex. We just need to go to the Word and hear what the Lord says about it. So do you have what you need to stand? Remember, only God's strength will keep you up. And we're to stand against the schemes of the devil. Verse 13 to 17 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, with the Lord in you and with you in the Lord, you can stand. When you have God in you and you are in the Lord, you can withstand. What does it mean to withstand? Think about this building. You know, it's made on a solid foundation. It's strong, made out of brick. The weather comes, the weather goes, all different conditions. But it withstands all these conditions. Doesn't mean it doesn't feel the wind, doesn't feel the rain. Doesn't mean it's not affected by it. But it remains unshaken. We are to withstand in the day of evil. We are to remain undamaged. We still feel things, we're still impacted, but God has actually given us tools to stand. It says to withstand in the day of evil. What's the day of evil? Today is the day of salvation, but today is also the day of evil. What? You see, from day dot, when Adam and Eve messed up, evil came in. And it's been a day of evil ever since then. And then Jesus was sent to earth and he defeated the enemy. But we haven't received his fullness yet. And the enemy is still raging, trying to take anyone else down. He knows his future, but he's trying to take everyone else down with him. So he's not going to stop. We're still in the day of evil and it's only going to intensify as we come closer to the return of Christ. So that's why we need to be alert and we need to be aware that we are in the day of evil, but yet we have God and he is so good, he is so strong, and he's for us. If God is for you, who can be against you? So to withstand the evil day, you are to take up the whole armor of God. But what is this armor we're talking about? What is the armor of God? So what Paul does, as we read before, and as most of you know, is he gives some spiritual metaphors of an armor, using a physical armor as an example of a Roman soldier. He goes through the armor and says, this is what it can look like. This is what it is. He gives us spiritual metaphors of a physical armor used by Roman soldiers. And he gives it in the order that the soldier would put on this armor. He says the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And then he says the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How is it that a soldier would start off by fastening a belt? How does the armor actually get held up by a belt? Do you know what the belt is for? Before they put on the armor, they would have their inner garments, clothing before they put on the armor. And the belt of truth, the belt is actually to hold together their inner garments, their inner clothing that provides extra padding under the armor. It's for padding. But when you think about the belt of truth, it's actually talking about your inner truth, your integrity. It's talking about the word, the things God has written on your hearts. That's the belt of truth. So when stuff is coming at you, the belt of truth, which God has put in you, actually holds all that together. Who you are in God. What God has done in you. It's about your inner self. That's what the belt of truth does. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So he starts with the belt of truth. And then he says, the breastplate of righteousness. So put on the breastplate of righteousness. But think about righteousness. You and I are righteous because of what Jesus has done. He's made you and I righteous. But when it's talking about the breastplate of righteousness, it's not so much talking about we're righteous in him. It's talking about you are to do right. You are to live righteously. If you live righteously, you do what is good and you do what is right, the enemy is going to flee. He doesn't want to be around that. But if you are righteous in God, but then you're not living righteously, the enemy is going to be having a party around you. Going, let's do this, let's go to that, let's play here. But if you actually have the breastplate of righteousness and you're living out that righteousness that Jesus has given you, the enemy will flee, but only for a moment. Only for a moment, because he's always at it. But guess who's always with us? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, always with us. The shoes fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We all wear shoes fitted with the readiness of peace, the gospel of peace. He's saying wear the shoes fitted with the readiness. The gospel is to prepare you and I to walk out this life. The gospel is what we're to walk out in what we do. The good news is to bring peace wherever we go. It's to give you and I peace, but to share with others. So you are to fasten the belt of truth. You are to put on that breastplate of righteousness and put on those shoes. I got me some new shoes recently. Anyone noticed? Nice and clean. Don't worry, this is not preachers with sneakers. They're only like $180. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's just social media. Shield of faith. It says about the shield of faith. In all circumstances, verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can. It says you can. Take up the shield with which you can extinguish the flaming, the fiery darts of the evil one. See, the enemy throws darts. And these darts are not just the darts that you know to just throw on the wall for a game. These are darts that have fire on them. And they're to destroy. They're to burn and destroy. That's what they're for. The lies, the temptation, the addictions. But we are not to fear that. Because we have the shield of faith. Now, for the Roman soldiers, the shield, can you picture the shield? What do you picture when you think about a shield? So when I think about a shield, I think about Shaka the Zulu. Now Shaka, legend in Africa, but when I picture his his shield, it would only really cover parts of your body. That's what I picture. So it would protect the Zulu people when they're fighting. But the Roman soldiers, their shield was a scutum-shaped shield. It was like a door-sized shield. It pretty much covers your whole body and sort of curved. So it would cover your whole body. And that's what our faith is supposed to do. It is to cover. It's to cover you. Your faith is to cover you. You're to depend on God based on your faith, by faith. Depend on Him, rely on Him, have trust in Him. And that is to cover you. The shield of faith. It says in all circumstances. And that shield that the Roman soldiers would use would be a wooden shield, but it's got the arrows coming at it. Remember, they've got fire on them. But so that that shield doesn't burn, they would have leather on it. And that leather is what would quench the fire. And this is what it's talking about here, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts. The faith that God has given you and I is so strong, so powerful, that no matter what the enemy throws at you, your faith can snuff it out. But it's your faith in God. And where does faith come from? It comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. So we need to be in the Word. God gives you faith. It's faith that makes you believe in Him. But then you've got to get that faith to continue to grow by being in His Word. And then it says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. We all know what mind games are like. We all know what it is to struggle with mental health. But God has given us the mind of Christ. When you hear about the helmet of salvation, this is what sets us apart. This is the gift of salvation that we have. You have been saved. You can walk in freedom. Helmet of salvation. This is about your relationship with God. We're to walk that out. We're to walk as people that have been saved. Sometimes we get saved and then we don't walk like we've been saved. We actually got to walk out our salvation. And then he talks about the sword of the Spirit. Can you bring that sword out for me? Just kidding. Yeah, she's got it. She's got it. She knows what it is. This is the sword, the Word of God. I wish I had one of those homes. I have the sword up on the wall. And, oh, look at my sword that I bought from somewhere I've never used before. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And you know, as the armor of God, this is the only offensive weapon in the armor. The rest of them are defensive. But this is actually what, when you put this in your hand, when you put this in God's hand, it is a weapon that the enemy cannot fight against. That's what the Word of God is. That's why we say, is the Word enough? What does the Word say about that thing? We need to know what the Word says. See, Jesus Himself used this weapon of the Word. In Matthew 4, you see Jesus coming out of 40 days of fasting, 40 days in the wilderness. And the enemy three times tries to tempt Him. And you know what he uses? The Word. He says, well, it says in the Word that these stones can be turned into bread. Why don't you make that happen, Jesus? If you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, it is written that man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. Two more times the enemy tries, takes him to the top of the temple highest place, says, jump down. The Word says that the angels will save you. Jesus is like, don't put the Lord to the test. It is written that you should not put the Lord to the test. He tries again to say, worship me. But Jesus continues to give him the Word. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus used the Word in spiritual warfare. Do you have the sword of the Spirit at your disposal? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the Word of God is living, it is alive, it is active, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. It said it penetrates, it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning, judging the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's how powerful the word is. I'm just like, wow, God, what more do we need? He's given us everything we need to stand. But you know, this armor that we're to put on to stand is actually not enough without prayer. Praying at all times. Every piece of the armor needs prayer to go along with it. To access these parts of the armor, you need to do it by prayer. You can access it without prayer, but it's not going to do a lot. It's not going to take you far. Helmet of salvation. Great, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But guess what? You're still here, and you're going to go through some stuff. Just because you're saved is not enough. It's the greatest gift, but you can be saved and still go through so much. But praying at all times, praying at all times, that's where the power comes from. Because of our salvation, we can have access to God. We can pray. The Word of God, you can read it as much as you want. But if you're not going to pray for revelation, Lord, as I open this Word, speak to me. Lord, as I hear from you, help me to walk it out. It's not going to make a difference in your life. You can quote that word to the enemy, but if there's no power which comes from prayer, it's not going to do anything. I could go on and give examples of all the different parts of the armor and how without prayer you're not going to get far. But we are told in verse 18 that praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are to pray at all times. Praying in the Spirit. See, praying in the Spirit here is not just about praying in tongues. It's not. Praying in the Spirit is being in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Romans 8, 26 to 27 tells us that when you don't know what to pray, He will give you what to pray. Yes, you can pray in tongues in that time, and the Lord even through that will reveal what to pray. It's about praying at all times. Is that our life is to be a life of prayer. It's not just about the times when you pray. It's about every part of our lives is to be dealt with in prayer. When it says pray at all times, that times is talking about the Greek word kairos, not chronos. Chronos is about quantity of time. It's not saying, hey, have quiet time with God all day. Man, if you did that, you'd be of no use. Oh man, I've just been praying the last 2 weeks just at home. Maybe the Lord called you to do that for 2 weeks. That's cool. But for most people, if you're just going to be doing that, it's not going to help much. Unless that's what God's really called you to. So don't, when you hear that, I'm like, oh, I can't do that. It's about in your every moment, you're aware of God. You're speaking to Him. You're having short conversations with Him. In the morning or whenever you have your quiet time, you have a long, solid conversation. And don't get caught up in the quantity. But I'm just saying praying at all times is not about the quantity. It's about your life being one of prayer. It's about just talking to God. Just talk to Him. Ask Him. Depend on Him. Because I really believe that if you're praying, you're standing. We talk about stand. If you are praying, if you're struggling, oh, I'm down, pray. Pray. His power starts to come. Or His power is ready to be. You start to become more aware of it. Will you stand down because there's so much against you? Or will you bring it to God in prayer? You see, your standing impacts others. Your standing impacts others. You can actually become a stand for others. Will you be a stand for others? Because we need one another. And it says here that we are to keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is about praying for one another. If you're not standing, you won't even realize you need to pray for others. But imagine if you're going through something and you're like, Lord, even though I'm going through this thing, I'm still going to pray for others. Guess what? You're standing. Because you're not just caught up in your own stuff. You know you're going through things. You know God is working on your behalf, but you're still praying for others and looking out for others. And what I love about the shield I was talking about, what the Roman soldiers would do is they would actually have a formation where with that massive shield, they would get all together, shield next to one another. And nothing in that moment can penetrate. They can go forward together. We need to be those kind of people that bring our shields of faith together, that look out for one another, that stand together. The standing is not just about you yourself standing, but actually being a stand for others. Can we stand up this morning? Stand with me. You actually can't stand by yourself. You've got to make God your stand. You can only stand by yourself for so long, but we actually need to make God our stand. A stand is something that holds something up. See, people will only help you to stand for so long. But God, Christ, the solid rock on which we stand. He is always there. He will always be there. He's for you. As you stand.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.